Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings 21. This message, the seed thoughts, the thoughts from it came from a message Pastor Stevens preached several years ago. I heard recently, and I thought, this is so practical. This is so practical. You do realize, don't you, that our lives are not our own. That we have been bought by another at an extraordinarily high price. My life isn't my own. I don't actually have the right to my own preferences and choices because my life doesn't belong to me. I don't have the right to the desires of flesh and lust and things like that. I don't have the right. Do you know why? Because the blood of Christ was shed. I don't have that right. The blood of Christ was shed. God owns me. I can't be a thief with my life. God owns me. The blood of Christ was shed. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and He made me alive. The blood of Christ was shed. I don't own my life. He owns it. It's a good thing He owns my life. You know why? I would make an utter mess of it. So I'm extremely glad He owns it. Because I would make a mess of it. But I don't have the right to it. If I try to take it back, God calls me a thief. God would call me a thief. It doesn't belong to me. Do you get this? My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. I have to be careful not to try to steal from God. Because He is the strong man guarding His house. And if I try to steal it from Him, He will take it back. He loves me too much. I'm too precious to Him. I'm too precious to Him. In verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thine vineyard, and I will have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. And Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders, and the nobles who were inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was as written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, that is Satan, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. This thought is coming very strongly, so I'm going to sway from this just a moment. This is coming very strongly. In 1 Thessalonians, please turn there. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one. This is coming very strongly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance. You, brethren, know our entrance in unto you. You know how we came to you. But it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, we were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, and we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. They spoke with much contention. They were shamefully treated and spoke with much contention. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. And for that they were shamefully treated with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet any others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you are dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhort and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now listen. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Do you understand? It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. I don't know why, but God wanted that read. It's in your Bible. Now let's continue. Let's turn back. It is very possible. It is very possible to say word of man. It is very possible to say word of man when it is in fact word of God. It's very possible. It's very possible to say opinion of man when it is in fact word of God. It's very possible. If you have verse and chapter, I did not write this book. Do you understand? Look up here for a moment, all of you. I didn't write this book. God did. Be careful what you call the word of a man when it's in fact the word of God. Paul says, we have nurtured you and loved you and been gentle towards you as a nurse to her children. And he said, he commended them. The words that we spoke to you, you did not accept them as the words of a man. You accepted them as the word of God. I didn't write that. I just read it. That's the word of God. I didn't write it. If you have an issue with the Bible, then you have an issue with God. You don't have an issue with me or any other man. If you have an issue with the Bible, you have an issue with God. I don't know why this leading is coming. I have no idea. But it is coming. Be careful when you hear something. That your pastor tells you from the leading of the Holy Spirit that you not call it his opinion, because it's not. Be careful when conviction comes. Two things. Don't get introspective and think that everything is about you. But if you are convicted, then be convicted. And don't blame the messenger for the message. He delivers it. He doesn't invent it. It's in your Bible. I'm not asking you to take my word. It's in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in your Bible. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. However, if you get proud, He'll oppose you. Why? Pride comes before a fall. What is pride? There are two things. There is pride, and there is arrogance. Pride is when I exalt myself above what I am taught from the Word of God. Arrogance is when I exalt myself above the person. I have to be extremely careful as a believer not to fall into that trap. Sometimes a message will come that's difficult for me to hear. And you know what? The message came for me, but not what I think. Sometimes a message will come towards me, not to correct me, but to humble me. And I have to be careful not to exalt myself against the message. Because if I do, then pride comes before the fall. The things that you have to deal with as a pastor, I don't care how big your church is, nobody knows but you. The things that you deal with as a pastor, nobody knows but you. So if you are convicted, be convicted and humble yourself before God. If you are not convicted, don't be introspective. But if you are convicted, be convicted. Because the messenger is not the source of the message. He's just the errand boy. But be very careful not to exalt yourself against that errand boy. He's in the divine order of God. Now, I don't know why this is coming. I honestly don't. But it's coming. Messages are given for my instruction, my edification, and my exhortation. They are also given as reproof and rebuke, because that's what the Word of God is for. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't want to hear a true message, then go somewhere where they'll give you a false one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. They heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. But what are they listening to? Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at it. Don't listen to me. Look it up in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Be careful what you prefer in your life. You just might get it. And if you do, it could be your destruction. I would like everyone who's taking notes to write this down, please. And there are some of you who are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Put this date next to it. May 15, 2008. You have just been told the truth from the throne of God. I don't know why, and I don't know for whom, but I do know it's from the throne of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. But the soul that is exalted in itself in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 is not right before God. When I exalt myself against the word that has been given from God through my pastor for me, then my soul is not right before Him. Write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Look it up in your Bible. I don't know why this is coming so strongly, but it's coming very strongly. I stand before God in His presence. Be careful. You're standing there too. You're standing there too. Be careful how you treat God's presence in your life and what you are willing to trade it for. Now in 1 Kings chapter 21, Naboth had a field. And Ahab, who is a type of Satan, wanted that field. Naboth had a vineyard. And his vineyard was a place of fruit. And that was the source of his fruitfulness. His vineyard was the source of his fruit. We have a vineyard. And if we cultivate it properly, it will become a source of our fruit. But Ahab wanted the vineyard. He wanted Nahab's fruit. Satan wants your fruit. Satan wants your fruit. But Naboth said to Ahab, I will not give you the source of my fruit. I will not give you my fruitfulness in my life. I will not give you the things that my father has given to me. You can't have it. My father gave it to me. So Naboth said to Ahab, no, I'm not going to give you what my father gave me. I will not give it away. And he said, I will give you another field. And this is how Satan works. He says, I will give you an exchange. I will take your fruitfulness, but I will give you something pretty. Another field. I'll give you something that appeals to your emotions or your flesh. I'll give you something that appeals to your natural mind, to your intellect. I'll give you something that appeals to a lust pattern or a comfort, and I'll give you this. I'll give you one that's better if you give me your fruitful life. And Naboth said, no. I'm not going to give you, I'm not going to give away what my father has given to me. And then the king said to him, I will buy it from you. And this is what Satan says to us, I will buy your fruitful life from you. I will buy it with money. I will buy it with relationships. I will buy it with prestige. I will buy it with worldly honor. I will buy it with whatever it is that you desire apart from God. And Naboth said, no, I will not give away what my father gave to me. In your lives, you will be asked to give away the source of your fruitful life. You will be asked to give away things like your love for the Word of God, your convictions, your purity, your right standing before God. You will be asked to give them away. Say no, I will not give you what my Father has given to me. Never give away what your Father has given to you. It cost him the blood of his son to give it. Never give away what your father has given to you. It is a cheap trade. It's a cheap trade. Many people do make it though. There are those people who walk with God for a season and then stop because they have traded eternal value for temporal desire. It's a cheap trade. You know why? Eternal value lasts for eternity. Temporal desire lasts for a short season, even in time. Even in time. Never make that trade. Never make that trade. When the enemy comes and says, I will make you this trade, say no. Say no. He will come to every one of you to make you that trade. You know what will happen when you make that trade? You will trade away the things of God. And you think you may take just a little, but Satan doesn't work that way. He'll take everything. He'll take everything. I know a man who was a fruitful preacher. He made that trade. He had found success with some endeavor he got into, and I'm not going to mention what because people would know who I'm talking about then. But he found success in an endeavor. And then, when the challenge came where he had to choose between the endeavor and the call, he chose the endeavor. You know what happened to his endeavor at that point? It ended. What else happened to him? He thought he'd just chosen endeavor. And he thought he'd go and serve God elsewhere. He was a pastor. He lost that which he was endeavoring for. Because you see, Satan takes out the fish hook just as soon as he catches the fish. He doesn't let you keep the fish hook. He takes it away from you. He takes out the fish hook just as soon as he catches the fish. But the fish dies. This man lost his endeavor, but in the process of having traded his call with God, he also lost his family. He also lost his church. He lost his children. He lost everything that God had given him. You see, Satan lies and he says, "Oh, just a little bit." Oh, but that's a lie. But that's a lie. You know what he takes? He takes everything. And then he even takes the fish hook. He takes everything. Everyone in this room, every fruitful believer, will have this challenge. The enemy will come to them and say, "Give me your vineyard. Give me your vineyard. Protect your vineyard. Protect your vineyard. Protect your vineyard. Never give it away. It is the only thing you have." Do you realize that? It's the only thing you have. Protect your vineyard. Protect the fruit in your life. Don't trade it away. Protect your calling. Don't trade it away. Protect your walk in the perfect will of God. Don't trade it away. Protect your relationship with your Savior, with the body of Christ, with your pastor. Don't trade it away. I found out today that my pastor is doing poorly in his health. I can't tell you how that breaks my heart. He's my spiritual father. And all I can hope for is to be a fraction of what he was. But I would never trade that relationship with him. Why? Because he built me. He built me. Paul says the pastor is the architect. The pastor is my architect. Don't trade it away. You can't have God in the world. You can't be unequally yoked with the world. You know what unequal yoking is? Yoking with anything apart from His perfect will. That's unequal yoking. You can't have both. God doesn't share. He bought you with His price. He bought you with His price. He doesn't share. His blood purchased your life. His blood purchased your life. Don't you dare even consider stealing from Him and taking it back to give to another. No matter what the other is, whether it's a thing, money, some kind of self-glory, some kind of relationship, some whatever it happens to be. Don't you dare steal it from God when He paid for it with His blood. You don't have the right. You don't have the right. Naboth said, I will not give what my father has given me. I will not give it away. Because the loss would be eternal. The loss would be eternal. So I will not give what my father has given to me. I will not give it away. There are people who would like to give, I don't mean anybody here, don't misunderstand, but there are people who would give away what cost God His blood to give to you. But be careful. When your light turns to darkness, how great is that darkness? You'll never find your way back out of it. It is unbelievably difficult to find my way back out of that darkness. Ultimately, it cost Nahab his life. You know what? If you want to keep what God has given you, it'll cost you your life. But the return is going to be God's life given to you. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm not talking about you will die physically. Although you might, if you decide to enter into sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But I give up my life, and He gives me His best in return. There are so many believers who will trade a nickel for a fortune. They will. They have a fortune from God. They have eternal riches. They have unbelievable rewards. And they trade them for a nickel. Not even a nickel. And you know the funny thing is? Then Satan takes his nickel back. That's the amazing thing. That's the amazing thing. If you are willing to make that trade, then you have made a foolish trade. You have made a foolish trade. Be careful, wisdom is justified over children. Wisdom is justified over children. My life is not my own, and your life is not yours. It has been purchased by the blood of God. Now, I don't know why this message came. It's not the message I had ready. But I will tell you this much with absolute certainty. It came from the throne. This came right from the throne. Not one ounce of a doubt about it. Be careful how you choose. You are choosing for eternity. Be careful how you choose. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, and please read this in your Bible as I read it with you. Read in your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You think it's an opinion? You're walking outside of truth. There's no opinion about it. It's the Word of God. You think it's the word of a man? You've been deceived. It's the Word of God in truth. I will tell you this right now. This message came from the throne. This message came right from God's throne. And it came for you. It came for you. Now, I preached it. You're responsible before God. A message like this is given from the love of God. A message like this is given from the love of God. Do you understand? A message like this is given from the love of God. Because He loves you too much to let you go. By the way, He won't let you go.